Chapter 4 Vasant Panchami. Vasant Panchami is the first day of the Vasant or spring season. Vasant Panchami and the spring season have their own special importance, and especially Hindu people celebrate this with great respect. On this day, we pick the mustard flower, barley and wheat, and offer them to our favorite deity. From today, taking drums, kartels, and different kind of instruments, we play Vasant ragas, songs, and the festival of Holi begins. There will be so many songs and kirtans, and all are related to Sri Radha and Krishna. In previous times, this was done even more, but now society has changed somewhat. Still, there is great enthusiasm for this festival. This time of year, in the trees, creepers, animals, birds, and in any conscious entity, rasa seems to increase. In the mango tree, flower buds will certainly appear. In the groves of mango trees, the she-crow will eat these buds and start making a cuckoo sound. The trees and creepers will shed their old leaves and change and be newly decorated with new, soft red leaves. It is as if they have come to participate in Sri Krishna's Basanti Ras, and with their new decoration, they are encouraging him. All of nature at once changes. Such is the spring season. Also in Braj, from this very day, Krishna and the gopis begin their Vasanti Ras. There is one rasa called Saradiya or Autumn Ras, and another called Vasanti Ras. On this day in Bengal, there is worship of Saraswati. Bengal is mainly a province of Shaktas, those who worship Shakti potency. From the potency of Radhika come Saraswati and Durga, and according to our line of thought, there is no special difference between Saraswati and Durga. With great decoration, the Bengalis worship Saraswati, the goddess of knowledge. We worship Shuddha Saraswati, the dear potency of Bhagavan, who makes the jivas move in the direction of Bhagavan. There is also Bimalananda Saraswati, who is the servant of Shuddha Saraswati, and another form of her. Bimala means pure. She who in pure form gives Ananda to Krishna is known as Bimalananda Saraswati. She bestows knowledge throughout the entire universe, and the people of the world serve her. Because Shuddha Saraswati is the root cause of the good opportunity to hear pure Harigatha, first of all we should offer pranam to her, and then we may make an effort to enter into everything related to Vasanti Ras. Krishna has different rasas at different times. Amongst them, the Sharadiya Rasa and the Vasanti Ras have their own special importance. For giving Ananda to all of the Nitya Siddha Gopis and Sadhana Siddha Gopis, Krishna commences the Sharadiya Ras. No activity or pastime of Krishna is done for his own pleasure, whereas any activity that we do, even up to serving the deity, is done for our own pleasure. We are serving the Guru for what? To get some future pleasure from it, so we will attain something. We may be performing bhajan, but in doing that, the idea of giving pleasure to Krishna is secondary. It should be the prime consideration. But in our conditioned state, we are serving merely for our own peace of mind. That which we do for ourselves is not bhakti. Gradually, when what we do becomes solely for the pleasure of Krishna and his associates, then only will it be bhakti. It must be purely for Krishna, for Radha, for their associates, and then it will be Shuddha Bhakti. Krishna is himself the crown jewel of those who are Atmaram and Aptakam. He has no unfulfilled desire. All of his desires are satisfied, so he doesn't need to take anything from anyone to be complete. In jivas, we find this quality of incompleteness. In our happiness, knowledge, renunciation, or whatever, we are not complete. By taking from Krishna or taking from other people, we want to become complete. But Krishna is Atmaram and Aptakam. He needs nothing to enjoy. But upon seeing the desires of his devotee, the desire to enjoy arises within him. Bhagavan Apitar Ratri Sharodotfula Malika Vikshya Rantum Manaschakre Yoga Mayam Upashritaha. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.29.1. Bhagavan Sri Krishna, witnessing the arrival of those autumn nights scented with blossoming jasmine flowers, desired to enjoy loving affairs. And for this purpose, he employed his yogamaya potency. Bhagavan is Aptakam, but still there is some desire in his heart because he is Rasik, and also Raso Vaisa, the emporium of Ras. There is also desire in the hearts of the gopis to taste that rasa. Although Krishna is Atmaram and Aptakam, today he will be drowned in ras, because within the gopis is the desire that Krishna will be pleased. For this purpose, they worshipped Katyayani. And 1 year before, during the month of Kartik, she gave them a boon, and for fulfilling that boon, there is desire in their hearts. The description of Sharadiya Ras has been given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is very beautiful and pleasing to the heart. Vashanti Ras has been described in the Gita Govinda by Sri Jayadev Goswami. One other topic of rasa, Ascharya Rasa, has been described by Prabodhananda Saraswati in a small book of Sanskrit poetry named Ascharya Rasa Prabandha. What is the meaning of rasa? Mandali Vyada Nirnitya. When, in an independent way, one hero and many different heroines come together and dance to instruments playing scriptural music, it is called rasa. This particular type of dancing has been described in the scriptures, and we do not see this rasa in any other incarnation of Bhagavan besides Krishna. They are able to do it, but have not done so. So then what to speak of any human being? If any human does this, it is given the name lust and is considered degraded behavior. When those devotees who for millions of births have rejected worldly desires and pleasures and have performed bhajan with the sentiment of the gopis for the pleasure of Krishna meet together in a group in an independent free way, dancing to different instruments, playing scriptural music, that is rasa. But the scriptures have accepted this very thing in relation to Krishna only, and rejected everyone else. Krishna and the gopis are engaged in rasa for each other's pleasure, and in this there is such an increase in prem that you will not find it fully described in any scripture. Therefore, Krishna himself, the crown jewel of all performers of Leela, has said, upon coming together for this rasa, what has happened within my heart? In my heart, what are the feelings and how are they arising? Just as milk is heated and boils over, such are the waves within Krishna's heart that he himself is unable to describe them. And it is the same for the gopis also. When you have forgotten your own body, what can you describe? Therefore, a few elevated personalities, such as Vyasadeva, in the samadhi of meditation, saw this phenomenon from a position of neutrality. Otherwise, they would have become emotionally involved in it and become bewildered also. The gopis were bewildered, Krishna was bewildered, and unless one was seeing it from an aloof position, one would not be able to describe it. Therefore, Vyas was able to describe it a little. The goddess Katyayani had given the gopis a boon, and on the day of Sharadiya Purnima, Krishna saw the moon in a special way. In the autumn season, when the moon is full, there remains no clouds, smoke, or dust in the sky, and all becomes clear. The season itself is very beautiful. It is not too hot, and it is not too cold. And by the influence of the moon, all kinds of flowers are blooming. In the early evening, the sun sets, and the full moon casts red rays on his dear one, the personification of the eastern direction. Our commentators have said that when Krishna saw the moon, he remembered, "Oh yes, we are members of the Chandra dynasty, and the original head of the Chandra dynasty is this very Chandra whom I see now. Tonight, the indication has arisen in my heart that the eastern direction is really the wife of Surya. I am similarly applying color to the faces of the gopis, meaning that I am enjoying amorous pastimes with them, and in this there is no fault, especially since I am actually the husband of the entire world." Seeing the moon, this inspiration arose in him. At that time, he remembered that a boon had been given to the gopis who had been performing tapasya for millions of births, and it was the last day of the month of Puja, Purnima. They were new gopis, young girls, and they gave invitations to Radhika, Vishakha, Lalita, and all the other gopis of Brajmandal. "Today, please come and join us in our puja." So on that day, when their worship was to be completed, Radhika, Vishakha, and Lalita joined them. But they didn't participate in the worship. Why? Because they had already been married. So for them, there was no necessity of saying, "We desire to have the son of Nanda as our husband." But all of them were present there, and on that very day, Krishna took their clothes and gave them all a boon. He thought, "Today I will fulfill the desires of their hearts." He played his flute, and when all of the gopis came there, he said, "I have already had darshan of all of you, so now please return home. Serving your husbands is your duty." The gopis replied, "Who in this world can be a guru like you? You are our Gurudev. There is no instruction as beautiful as what you have given to us. Telling us to serve our husbands, there is no greater instruction than this. So you are our guru then. Previously, we were offering puja to Katyayani, and now we have attained your service. So you are our guru. Therefore accept the puja we offered before, and if you don't, then you are not fulfilling your words, and the reaction of committing aparad will come upon you." Yeyata mam prapadyante tam stataiva vajamyaham. Bhagavad Gita 4:11. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. These are your words. Please fulfill the desires of our bhajan. To you we have only brought ourselves. We have nothing more to offer you. So please be happy. Before, in our puja, we offered dried fruit, rock candy and sweets. Whatever we had, we offered to Katyayani in our puja. But in reality, it was all meant for you. Please accept it. Otherwise, you are not fulfilling your words. Krishna could not defeat them with words. In his description of Ascharya Rasa, Prabodhananda Saraswati has shown these things with a little difference. He has written that on that day, Krishna called through the flute, "Radhe, Radhe," and each of the gopis thought, "He is calling my name." Jago Kalam Vamsidrisham Manoharam, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:29:3. The meaning of this is very beautiful. Jago means played, and Manoharam means he who steals the heart. He played his flute in such a way as to steal the attention of the whole world, and all the gopis became automatically attracted. Krishna, by his beauty, by his qualities, by his affection, by his rasa, and by all the other specialities of his style, stole the hearts of all living entities. He sent a messenger from house to house. How did he send it? By his lips, through the medium of his flute. All the rasa of his heart was expressed in his calling of the gopis. The wood of the flute, bamboo, is generally dry, but he injected it with rasa. He gave a little blow into the flute, and from the flute came a very peculiar vibration, the likes of which he could not have made with his mouth alone. Emerging from the flute, the vibration saw that in the entire universe there was no fit receptacle for it, so he crossed over the entire Brahmand. Going up from there, it also crossed Vaikuntha, and even crossed Mathura and Dwarka. Entering Braj, this sweet vibration stunned and bewildered everyone and put them to sleep. All of the older ladies of Braj became unconscious and knew nothing of what was happening. The Sakas also remained sleeping. Then, for making the gopis give themselves to Krishna, that vibration arrived at their ears and saw that the door was open. Coming across an open door, it immediately entered through the medium of their ears and came to the most valuable of all things, their hearts. The patience of the heart, the fear and shyness towards Guru, whatever was there, it plundered everything. And only when it was leaving did the gopis come to know of it and say, "Where have our hearts gone?" They saw that a thief had come and is going away. Where? In the direction from which that vibration came. And so they ran there. When I joined the mission, there was an older brahmachari who would sit in the corner and chant japa with his back pointed outward so that nothing would distract him. Every day he would chant 1 lakh of Harinam. One day, while he was sitting quietly and chanting, he heard a noise, and not fully to his external senses, he looked to one side and saw a thief escaping with a money box. As he got up to pursue the thief, his dhoti began to fall down, so he clutched it with one hand. With the other hand, he was still taking Harinam. He didn't leave his Harinam. In this very state, with one hand on his Harinam mala and the other hand holding up his dhoti, yelling, "Thief, thief," he ran after him. Then his foot got caught in his dhoti and he almost fell. At that time he was not completely to his external senses, so how could he catch the thief? He couldn't catch him, but he ran after him in that condition anyway. Finally more people came and the thief was caught. At the time when Krishna played the flute, the gopis were in a similar condition. It was early evening. One gopi was serving her husband, another was milking a cow, another was cooling milk by pouring it from one vessel to another, another was decorating herself, and others were doing other things. So when the thief comes, if there is a delay of even one moment, it won't be possible to catch him. Therefore, the gopis immediately ran after him. Some had applied makeup to only one eye, and the remainder was in their hands as they left. Others, in a bewildered state, dressed themselves in a disorderly fashion, and as they went, their clothes were dragging on the ground. Not fully externally aware, they arrived in the arena of rasa. This is called Sharadiya Rasa. During that rasa, Krishna's dearmost gopi exhibited some jealous anger. Krishna was thinking, "I am enjoying with so many gopis. No one is as fortunate as me." But this gopi thought, all are equal to me? He told me that I was the dearest to him, and here I see that he is a liar. He is dancing and singing with everyone. Therefore, she exhibited man, jealous anger. Then Krishna grabbed her and disappeared on the path. The gopis began searching. Searching and searching, they saw a pair of footprints, and along with them was the footprint of some Kishori. One group of gopis understood whose footprint that was, but the Sakis, in the mood of Chandravali, didn't understand whose it was. Anaya radito nunam Bhagavan Hare Ishwaraha Yan no vihaya Govinda Prito yam anayad raha. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:30-28. The gopis thought, certainly this particular gopi has worshipped Sri Govinda the best, therefore he has left us and taken only her with him. Those that were servants of that gopi recognized her footprint and were very, very happy. Today Prabhu has taken our Sakhi and vanished. As they went further and further, these gopis felt increasing anand, but the others were feeling separation. We see that her footprints stop here. Where has she gone? Definitely that gopi became tired, and therefore he lifted her up and carried her on his shoulders. When they went a little further ahead, the gopis noticed a place on the ground where someone had been sitting, and near it some flowers had fallen. There were also some toe prints on the ground. It seems that here Krishna has lifted up his heels to pick flowers, so here he has certainly decorated her with flowers. They went a little further ahead and saw that very Sakhi alone and lamenting, and said, oh, it was this Sakhi Krishna had taken with him. Seeing her crying and crying, the other gopis felt some sympathy for her. Leaving her behind, Krishna had gone on his way. Otherwise, they would have been jealous of her. There are so many beautiful things described there in chapters 29 to 33 of the 10th canto. In the end, they again met Krishna. He appeared to them a little ashamed and said, Sakis, I am certainly very grateful to you. They put a question about loving reciprocation to him, and his answer was very beautiful. Here we complete our summary of Saradiya Ras. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rai Ramananda, Swarup Damodar, and Srivas Pandit were together at Rathayatra. It was the day of Hera Panchami. At that time, Srivas saw that the Dasis of Lakshmi had arrested the gopis and were harassing them. As a form of taxation, they were snatching their ornaments and punishing them. Very happily, they were playing horns, laughing and saying, hey cowherds, you work only with milk, and you want to be equal to Lakshmi Devi? Today we will teach you a good lesson. They were taking some of the gopis' clothing and beating them with that, and taking some taxation from them. Seeing all of this, Srivas Pandit was very pleased and said, just see what is there in Vrindavan. The garlands there are composed merely of gunja flowers. Where would they get quality ornaments? All they have are these ornaments made of flowers, and they are wearing these things. Their opulence is petty in comparison to the massive opulence of Lakshmi. Then Swarup Damodar said, what is the nature of the gopis' ankle bracelets? They are more valuable than the diamonds on Lakshmi Devi's head. Only these simple flowers are necessary for them to attract Sri Krishna. Since nothing else is necessary, their opulence is the highest. In this way, he described the greatness of the gopis. Mahaprabhu said, he is correct. I agree that the prem of the gopis is the highest of all. It is even higher than that of Lakshmi. And amongst all of the gopis, who is the best? Swarup Damodar replied, Radhika. Radhika's prem is the most advanced of all. How? In the Rasa Lila, Krishna left all others and vanished, taking only her. He took her in a deceptive way. Why with deception? Because he was afraid of the other gopis. If he had taken her in front of everyone, then perhaps Chandravali and the others would have become jealous of the prema of Radhika. Mahaprabhu said, "We don't want to hear about him stealing her, because the name of the particular gopi that he took is not mentioned in the Bhagavatam. It could have been Chandravali or any other gopi. Please tell us how Krishna directly considers Radha only to be the best." Now Jayadev will begin describing the Bashanti Ras. "My heart is palpitating, for I desire to write such a thing which in this life I have not written before, and which is not mentioned anywhere. That Krishna will fall at the feet of Radhika. We know it well, but Krishna is the supreme controller, the cause of all causes, and the original Bhagavad avatar. That he falls at the feet of his own potency, who in the form of his dasi, I don't know if this is proper, but my heart is saying that without Krishna putting his head at her feet, she will not be appeased. I don't know if I am able to write it." Jayadev goes on to describe that on the plains of Giriraj Govardhan at Chandra Sarova, Chandra remained throughout the whole of one of Brahma's nights. What is the duration of Brahma's night? Millions of yugas. In order to witness the Rasalila, he stayed there, so it is called Chandra Sarova. In the spring season, all of the fruits and flowers in Vrindavan come out. The she-crow starts her cuckoo sound. The peacock starts his keka sound. And it is as if the pigeons are playing the conch shell, making their cuckoo sounds. They are all making their own sounds, and collectively it sounds as if they are playing a shanai. In this way, all of the birds and animals become happy, and there is no one who is not dancing. Forming groups, Krishna and the gopis start dancing. All young, unmarried girls are present there, and they have been waiting for 1 year. For dancing with Krishna, for meeting with Krishna, for a whole year a fire of separation has been burning inside them. Not for themselves, not for lust, but for mitigating this separation. For really, becoming immersed in Krishna Ras, one must enter into this poetry composed by Jayadev Goswami. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his heart full of Ras, at night would tell Swarup Damodar, "Please recite Geet Govinda for me." Hearing it, immediately his pleasure would increase. Swarup Damodar would read precisely what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desired to hear. Sometimes it was the poetry of Jayadev, sometimes Chandidas, sometimes Vidyapati, and sometimes he would read verses from the 5 chapters describing Rasa in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The gopis were clapping their hands as if they were kartels, and they played drums, the veena and the sitar. It was divinely beautiful as the gopis played one raga after another. There are some melodies in which there is no rasa, so they played only the ragas that increased the rasa. Krishna sang in a very high pitch and in different melodies. The gopis then sang one song in a higher pitch than Krishna. He wanted to sing still higher but couldn't, and he could only say, "Sadhu, sadhu, very nice, very nice." Krishna was dancing, and with Srimati Radhika, he danced with such speed and dexterity that he himself was astonished, and he chanted, "Sadhu, sadhu." With one gopi, Krishna was holding hands. With another, he was dancing by jumping up and down. And another, he was embracing. And another, he was kissing on the hand. Sometimes, with his eyes half open in great prema, he would look in the direction of a particular gopi. He would follow a certain rhythm of racing behind one gopi after another, and this is how Vashanti Rasa is described. In a fraction of a second, as short as the blink of the eyes, thousands more gopis arrived and started dancing. Radhika saw that at that time, Krishna's Parama Aishwarya Shakti was not working. He had stopped it. Here, he kept the cause behind his pastimes, Yogamaya, separate from him. He placed all of these potencies far away by telling them, at this time, you will not do anything. For now, you just sit quietly and watch. In this Leela of Krishna, everything was forgotten. Here, because Aishwarya was not manifest, Krishna didn't know that I am Bhagavan, and the gopis didn't know that we are Ishwari. We are the root of Yoga Maya. All was forgotten. After a little while, Radhika saw, Krishna is a big cheater. He is cheating me. He seems to be dancing only with me, but actually he's dancing with everyone. Only because of his speed and dexterity does it seem that he is with me alone. Then Radhika exhibited some man, jealous anger. If we feel this emotion, there is some selfishness in it. But in the hearts of devotees, there is no selfishness. In her heart, there is never any envy. But even if there is some, it is only a transformation of Prem and Mahabhav. Don't consider this to be a defamation, but rather an aspect of her variegatedness, her speciality. There is milk. Add some sugar and it becomes sweet. Mix a little kavra, then a little camphor and other things and it becomes more and more sweet and tasteful. Like this, Radhika has her own uniqueness for making Krishna even happier. She exhibited some man. She left the rasa and went to a kunj. But then what happened? Upon arriving there, she thought, why did I leave Krishna's association? He didn't leave me, I left him. If there is any unfortunate woman, it is me. There is no one as unfortunate as me. Meanwhile, Krishna met one Sakhi and requested her, please go to Radha and tell her that Krishna is saying, I am very unhappy for you. In the future, I will never do such a thing as I did again, and you will always be happy. Now you please forgive me. The Sakhi went to Radhika and seeing her condition said, why are you behaving like this? Leaving Krishna, you came here? He tried to please you, but you wouldn't accept it. So why are you upset? Just then, Lalita appeared there and said, Krishna is a liar. Don't trust him. Don't ever reveal your simplicity to him. Remain crooked. Otherwise, you won't be able to have straightforward dealings with him. He will never understand your value. So always remain crooked. The Sakhi tried in many ways to pacify Radhika, but she would not be appeased. When the Sakhi returned to Krishna and told him this, he said, somehow I must appease her. Then Krishna thought he would play a joke to appease her. Pretending to be very unhappy, his face became withered and saying, now I am going. He left there and hid in a nearby kunj. Then some Sakhis followed behind him whispering, where is he going? Let's see. He entered a kunj and laid down amongst some large rocks. Seeing him lie down, the Sakhis returned to Srimati Radhika, Lalita, Vishakha and the others and told them, he has gone to a nearby kunj, been very unhappy and in pain from your separation. He was not able to go any further and he has fallen asleep. They said, where? The Sakhis then led Radhika and the others to the kunj. They peered into the entrance of the kunja and saw that his face was covered. They couldn't tell if he was crying or sleeping or what he was doing. Then, moving closer, they saw that he was sleeping. His eyes were closed and his face was a little covered. The gopis exchanged hand signals because at that time their supreme enemy, the flute, was hanging loosely in his hand. They thought that it should be taken. They did not consider for a moment that they might be entering a trap, but just that they should take it. Then Radhika said, "Yes, we should take it, but who will do it? Who will tie the bell around the cat's neck? Who will take the responsibility of snatching the flute from his hand? Friends, this is not a simple thing. His hand is like a snake. If someone approaches and tries to take the flute, the snake will bite him, give its poison, and it will never leave him. Therefore, who will dare to try?" All of them thought together and concluded that it would not be possible for anyone except Srimati Radhika. So she said, "If all of you insist, then certainly I will try." Very, very slowly, just as a cat does, she crept closer, walking very slowly and stealthily, smiling slightly and watching him. She went closer. But what was Krishna doing? He had heard everything that they had discussed amongst themselves, and feeling that he should enjoy himself a little, he thought, "If Radha is to be appeased, there must be some direct conversation between us." But there had not been such an opportunity. "Therefore, I will let the flute be taken, and then I will see how I can talk to Radha. I will ask each of them, 'Where did you put my flute?' And in the course of asking all of them, I will necessarily come to Radha, and then I will get the chance. It will be a moment of great happiness." Understanding everything, Krishna allowed his hand to become slack. Thinking him to be asleep, slowly Radhika crept near to him and saw that he was apparently deeply asleep. When someone is sleeping lightly, they can be easily awakened, but when someone is in deep sleep, you cannot easily awaken them. Krishna appeared to be sleeping like that. Quickly she snatched the flute from his hand, and at once the gopis ran from the kunj. As they were all running with their long hair swinging to and fro, Krishna opened his eyes saying, "Hari, Hari, hey, where is my flute gone?" He ran outside the kunj and said to the gopis, "You have stolen my flute." He said to each gopi, "Did you take it? Did you take it?" Until he finally came to Radha. She replied, "What will I do with this useless piece of bamboo? Yes, I took it, and I will burn it also. It is only one piece of bamboo. In our garden, we have thousands of sticks of bamboo. So what is the big deal about only one piece of bamboo? You can come and cut thousands and take them." In this way, they were mutually joking, but they didn't realize that Krishna was knowingly joking with them. Still, Radhika was not appeased, although internally she desired to meet Krishna. He had already seen that sending a messenger would not do it, so what did he do next? He himself expanded into Shyamala Sakhi. Assuming a very beautiful form, she approached the gopis with a basket of flowers in her hand, and in a sweet voice called out, "By rendering service to someone, I will mitigate all of their distress and fatigue, and they will become very happy." At that time, Radhika and the Sakhis were feeling fatigued and unhappy. Seeing Shyamala, really Radhika did not recognize this Sakhi as Krishna himself, and Lalita, Vishakha and the others also did not recognize him. When Krishna assumes another form, who will recognize him? Even when an ordinary actor changes dress, we cannot understand who it is. For this purpose, he employed Yogamaya, and therefore no one could recognize him. Shyamali pleased Radhika by giving her a flower garland which emanated a special fragrance. Radhika thought, "Where has this fragrance come from? Whose fragrance is this?" Knowing it to be related to Krishna, she was very pleased. Shyamali began saying to Radhika, "In this world, there is no one who is as kind, who has as many good qualities, who shows respect to everyone, who is as grateful, or who is as expert in all 64 arts as Krishna is. What to speak of just in Vrindavan? In the entire Brahmand, there is no one equal to him. And you? You have so many good qualities, and you are so beautiful. So towards him, you should not commit any offense. Praising Krishna like this, and praising Radha like this, Shyamali proved that Krishna was not at fault. Radhika was fully appeased, and in the end, for her ultimate happiness, the final weapon was in his hand. Having returned to his original form, he said to Radhika, "In me there is a fire of separation, and only the touch of your feet can cool it. Therefore be merciful and decorate my head with your feet, because by doing so you will also become happy." Being pleased, Radhika said, "Now agree to one thing. The flower bracelets on my feet are broken. Please arrange them. And my hair plait has become loose. Please tie it." Seeing that he had followed her every order, she thought, "He has obeyed all of my orders very nicely. He will never go to another gopi. Come, let there be rasa." At that time, the Rasa Leela was performed at Chandra Sarova. This is how Bashanti Ras is described in Gita Govinda. Although we don't have the qualification to engage in Shravan and Kirtan of this topic, in brief we have tried to describe this rasa and what sentiments of love came in it. Tasting and tasting this, just see how the condition of Mahaprabhu became. It was a wonderful thing. Swarup Damodar and Rai Ramananda would describe it to him. "I am only an ordinary person, full of anartas." But in that place where Swarup Damodar and Rai Ramananda are describing this, Krishna himself, full of Radha Bhav, will be there as a listener in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he receives so much anand from it. Therefore, we will silently remember this Bashanti Ras. And when one day genuine spiritual greed arises in our hearts, we will be able to directly serve this rasa. Thus ends chapter 4 of the Nectar of Govinda Lila.